1967. For some, it was the summer of love. For countless others in urban centers across the United States, it was dubbed the long, hot summer of 1967. Across America, Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Tampa. In Detroit, it earned a name, the 12th Street Riot, it was called. The uprising lasted nearly a week, and by the end, 43 people were dead, over 1,000 others injured, and more than 2,000 buildings had been destroyed. It all began in the early morning on July 23rd, a Sunday, 50 years ago, when police raided an illegal after-hours bar on the corner of 12th Street and Claremont Avenue.
My name is Daryl Buchanan. I grew up on the west side of Detroit on Virginia Park between 12th and 14th Street. I turned 12 the week of the rebellion of 1967.
The Virginia Park neighborhood is located in northwest Detroit. For Daryl, in the mid-1960s, it was home, and he loved it.
On a Sunday afternoon.
My neighborhood was a very vibrant neighborhood. It's interesting to me that I hear a lot of times it described as a ghetto or something of that nature, but to me, it couldn't have been a more enriching environment for a young person to grow up in. Just on my block, there was a market, there was a dairy, there was a meat market, there was a hardware store, there was a barber shop, and on the corner was a pharmacy. Dr. Mabin had his pharmacy right there on the corner. On a day-to-day basis, there was really nothing that we had to venture too far out of the neighborhood to get or any services that we needed. They were pretty much all right there.
At the request of Mayor Kavanaugh, we've made state police and National Guardsmen available to assist in dealing with what is a case of lawlessness and hoodlumism, and to protect the persons and property of people in the areas involved.
One of the things that I recognized real early, you know, coming from a neighborhood, Highland Park, where it was a very mixed environment, and moving to Virginia Park, where it was just black folk living over there, the difference was how, you know, we looked at the police department. When I was a little boy, I used to see police in Highland Park, and, you know, you could wave at them, you could talk to them. I moved on Virginia Park, and I just noticed how whenever police would come around, a lot of my friends would just disperse.
Now, we've put in about 300 state police and about 600 National Guardsmen in the area to protect the people and the property from the acts of lawless elements.
That was a Sunday morning. I was an altar boy at St. Agnes, and so I was now doing 8 o'clock mass. I had to get up and, you know, iron my vestments and get ready to go to church. And nobody else in the house was up right then. My grandparents were asleep. My mother, she was in emergency room tech in Henry Ford Hospital. She worked midnights. And so the phone rang. And I ran to grab the phone before it woke anybody up. And it was my mother. And she was saying, "You're not going to church this morning." "Whoa, I'm serving mass this morning." And she says, "You can't go to church. There's a riot, and it's taking place right on 12th Street near the church."
Riots, looting, and public disorder will just not be tolerated.
Then I started paying attention to the fact that I could hear people outside, but it didn't really, you know, alert me to anything because, you know, maybe somebody was up, and, you know, it's the summertime, so, you know, maybe people were up early getting ready for, you know, a barbecue or something. Because I could smell some smoke, too. But it wasn't like, you know, it alarmed me at that point. And then I went outside on the front porch. And I could see all kinds of activity. People coming from 12th Street down Virginia Park, you know. And people had shopping carts. They were carrying all kind of items. And I'm just looking like, what is going on? It was like an explosion, all of the anger that was in the neighborhood at that time. I made my way down to 12th Street to start watching, seeing some of the things that were going on. It was really heartbreaking. Now we're starting to see not just the violence of the looting that was taking place, the spillage of broken glass and some of the merchandise that was strewn up and down the street. Then is when they started setting fire to some of the buildings. Then we started to, you know, move away from 12th Street. The police were overwhelmed. You could tell that right away. For the most part, you know, you saw the police kind of pass through and maybe disperse a crowd, but as soon as they got past you, the crowd built up again right behind where they just came from. And it continued on and on and on.
I'm declaring a public state of emergency in these three cities. And I'm also indicating that I will promulgate such rules, orders, and regulations as I deem necessary to protect life and property and to bring the emergency situation within the affected areas under control.
By the time the National Guard got into the neighborhood, you saw a difference. You know, just the level of force that they came into the neighborhood with.
At 11:02 a.m. this morning, I instructed the Secretary of Defense, Mr. McNamara, to initiate the movement of the troops which the governor had requested.
You know, growing up as a little boy, you know, in that period, all little boys played Army. You know, we're just fascinated by that. There were all kind of TV shows about World War II and all of that. But when we actually saw armed soldiers in our neighborhood, it had a very serious impact on all of us because it was nothing like the game that we had been playing before. When you see a tank roll down your street, the noise that it makes, and then you see how it leaves an imprint in the street when it goes by, that really has an impact on you. At night, we could hear the gunfire and we could hear the power and the force of, you know, what the weaponry that they brought to the mix. There was a house that for years had the scars on it. And, you know, they said that there were some snipers in this house and, you know, they pulled up on it in one of those tanks. And when they started firing, you know, those bullets at that house, you could hear that throughout the entire neighborhood. And I remember I went by and actually saw through the iron fence, you could see the bullet, you know, marks, the trail when the bullets were going through and hit that iron fence. And you could see how the bricks, you know, and the masonry on this building was just torn up by these bullets. It was like seeing war up close. I don't think we ever played Army after that. In a lot of ways, I saw what I knew to be a very vibrant neighborhood being destroyed. And I knew then that it was never going to be the same.
Detroit resident Daryl Buchanan remembering the summer of 1967, 50 years ago. Daryl is now director of My Brother's Keeper in the state of Michigan, and special thanks to the Detroit Historical Society. You can check out their Detroit 67 project at Detroit1967.org. That's all for us this hour. Have a great weekend, and thank you so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.